ברוכים הנמצאים, ladies, תזכו לשנים רבות, נעימות וטובות. We are a few days before חג השבועות. שיבוא עלינו לטובה, אמן. השבועות, of course, is יום מתן תורתנו. The day that we receive the Torah. There's a Gemara in Shabbat on page Pezayim. Gemara tells us that before the giving of the Torah, God told Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the people to prepare Ayom u'Mahar, today and tomorrow. What sounds like there should be 2 days preparation, and on the third day God will give the Torah. This was told to Moshe on a Wednesday. So 2 days is Wednesday, Thursday. So the Torah was supposed to be given on a Friday. The Gemara says something amazing, that Moshe Rabbeinu on his own, hosif yom midato, he added an extra day to the calculation, and he delayed Matan Torah until Shabbat. This, he wasn't told by God to do this. This is something that he did, the Gemara says, midato, on his own knowledge. The Gemara asks, how do we know God consented? The Gemara says, because the Shekhinah did not come down to Har Sinai ad safra de Shabbata, until Shabbat morning. So you see, must be God agreed. Because if God didn't agree, the Shekhinah would have came down on Friday. Nobody would have been there. And then that's it. You missed the wedding. The wedding's over. Nobody showed up. The party's over. So the Gemara says, no, it's not so. God showed up on Har Sinai on Shabbat, exactly on the day Moshe Rabbeinu orchestrated. When you read this Gemara, it's such a strong question. You see, for some reason, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted the Torah to be given on Shabbat. He wasn't happy with the Friday Torah. What's the difference? What's the difference if it's given on Friday, if it's given on Shabbat? Does it make a difference when a person gets his birthday gift? If his birthday is on Friday, Shabbat, you get a gift. You have a gift. It doesn't matter the day you get it. But Moshe Rabbeinu, for whatever reason, went to great extreme in order to delay. I would say, I want the Torah day early. Every extra day that we have Torah is a blessing to the world. I would have expected Moshe Rabbeinu to bring the Torah early, bring it on Thursday. No, instead he delays it. This is a Gemara that clearly needs understanding. The Parashan Yitro, right before the Torah was given, the Pasuk says, they came to Midbar Sinai, the Jewish people came to Sinai, Ve'ichan Sham, and they camped over there. U'Moshe Ala Ela Elohim. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to God, Vayikra Elav Adonai Minahar. And God called to Moshe from the mountain, and then he begins the giving the Torah, the Ten Commandments. When I look at this Pasuk, of course our eyes already are trained that whenever we see the names of Hashem, we always ask ourselves, is this a name of mercy or is this a name of judgment? Because we want to know the direction of the Pasuk. So I read the Pasuk, it says, Moshe Ala Ela Elohim. Elohim is judgment. So it says that Moshe went to Elohim, for some reason there's judgment. And then right away in the same Pasuk it says, Vayikra Elav Adonai Minahar. When Yudke Vavke calls Moshe from the mountain. So I see already in the same Pasuk we have judgment and then Rahamim. How in the same Pasuk, in one line, all of a sudden the mood of the Pasuk switches from Elohim to Yudke Vavke. And what does God tell Moshe Rabbeinu? Ko tomar lebeit Yaakov. Kotomav. Tell the people the following. What is the following? Whatever the Torah is. This, the book. Kotomav. Listen to the language of Rashi. Rashi on the Pasuk Kotomav. He says, Bilshon hazeh, uchaseder hazeh. Rashi says, God says to Moshe, tell it to them in this language, Bilashon hazeh, I guess Lashon HaKodesh, and in this order, What's the order? What do you mean this order? What, I thought Moshe Rabbeinu was going to say it in a different order? He's getting the Torah, the way Hashem gives them. What is Hashem going out of his way to say, in this order? These are a few questions that we had. I came to say a big hadush today. It's a secret of the Torah. It's a new concept. We have to speak about these concepts, even though we don't understand them fully. But over time, if we speak them over and over again, eventually they'll become part of our understanding. Always the first time you hear something, it's a hidush. It takes time for the brain to accept these concepts. But over time, as I said, you'll benefit from hearing these new hidushim. When I come to give the shi'ur, we try to say something that you didn't hear. That you shouldn't have claimed. You say, oh, this hidush I heard already 100 times, Rabbi. We came all the way out of our way and you're telling us stuff that we could buy on the shelf. So therefore, we have to dig a little deeper to challenge you, especially you righteous ladies. You go to classes all day long, so there's nothing you didn't hear already. So therefore, we have to go very, very deep under the surface in order to find something to impress you. There was a rabbi called Birkat Shemuel. Rav Shemuel Kandavar. He was the father of the great rabbi of Kav HaYashar. Great rabbi Mikubal. So he says a hadush like this. He says the Hebrew alphabet has two systems. There's a system that we're familiar with, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, He, Vav. That's the alphabet in order. And then there's the system of the Hebrew alphabet called Tashrak. Tashrak is the Hebrew alphabet backwards. Taf, Shin, Resh, Kof. So he says both systems are used. Whenever you use a system of Aleph, Bet, Gimel, starting from the lower letter going to the higher letter, that arouses tremendous mercy. It's chesed. It arouses kindness. And I understand why. Because the numbers are getting bigger. So you're getting bigger and bigger, Aleph, and then Bet, and then Gimel, and then Dalet. So chesed knows no bounds. Chesed keeps on growing. So anytime you have the letters in order, it arouses great mercy. Whereas he says, whenever you have the letters backwards, so that arouses great judgment. For the simple reason, because it's diminishing. Taf is 400, Shin is 300, Resh is 200, Kof is 100. So you see it's going down. Anything that diminishes, anything that becomes restricted, anything that becomes confining, is judgment, is dini. So you learned the hadush today. The Aleph Bet Gimel system, and the Tashrak system. I'll give you a simple example, just so you can relate it into our religion. If I were to ask you which month on the Jewish calendar, we have Shadim here today. Which month of the Jewish calendar would you say is the month of judgment? Answer correctly, because there's a holiday called Yom HaDin. Right, the month of Tishri. Interesting, if you look at the letters of Tishri, it's Taf, Shin, Resh. So you see, it goes backwards, the letters. Because since that's the Yemei HaDin, so therefore, the name of the month is going to be written in a way that arouses Dinim. If I were to ask you the month that is the most favorable, well, we would say Nisan. Nisan is when we came out of Egypt. It's really not the month of Nisan because Nisan is not written in the Torah. The Torah calls that season that we're in now, which is a very, very favorable season, the season of Yitziat Mitzrayim, the season that we received the Torah, it's called Chodesh HaAviv. Aviv is Aleph Bet. So you see, the month of Aviv is written in a progressive way. It's going in order. So you see, just as a remez, the two different systems. So the great rabbi called Birkat Shemuel says, I'll give you another question. This is a question. The name of God of mercy is what? Yud, and then He, and then Vav, and then He. Seemingly, this should not be a name of mercy, because it's out of order. Yud, He is going backwards. Yud is over here, and the He is before it. And the Vav is after, and then the He is before it. So therefore, it seems that the name of mercy of God, Yudke Vavke, is not in the Aleph Bet system. This is the question that I saw the Sefer HaTziyuni asks. A question. If you're telling me that when it's written in Aleph Bet, meaning in sequence, we'll say, it arouses mercy, then the name of God of mercy is not written in sequence. He says a big Hiddush. He says it is written in sequence. It cannot be. How can it be written in sequence? So he says, what's the first letter of the alphabet? Aleph. Okay, Baruch Hashem, you learned something. So Aleph, and then Bet, and then Gimal, and then Dalet. How much is Aleph?
One.
Hazak Baruch. Bet is how much?
Two.
So that's three. Gimal is how much?
Three.
That's six. And Dalet is how much?
Four.
So that's ten. Aleph, Bet, Gimal, Dalet is ten. Ten is what letter in the Hebrew alphabet?
Yud.
So you have Aleph, Bet, Gimal, Dalet. That's the Yud of Hashem's name. And then what's after Dalet? He, and then what? Vav, which is Yud Ke Vav. So therefore, even the name of Yud Ke Vav Ke is in order. It's following the system of Aleph, Bet, Gimal, Dalet, which is Yud. And after the Yud is what? Aleph, Bet, Gimal, He. And after the He, Yud Ke Vav. So therefore, you see clearly. And then the second He is just repetitive. So that's a double letter. We don't care about the double letter. We care about the main letters of the. So it's following the order. Based on this, he explains a Gemara in Masechet Shabbat. The Gemara there is explaining the secret of the Hebrew alphabet. So the Gemara says, what does Aleph Bet stand for? Ah, Aleph Bet. Aleph Bina. Aleph. Aleph, teach or study. Bina. Bina is wisdom. Study Torah. Aleph Bet. That's the hint. Aleph Bet, Aleph Bina, study Torah. Gimal Dalet, Gimol Dalim. Give tzedakah to the poor people. Do charity. Gimal is to help, cooperate, or to give. Give is a better word. Gimol Dalim, to the poor people. Dal. So you see the first four letters of the alphabet are telling you the purpose of life. Aleph Bet, Gimal Dal. Learn Torah and give charity. Learn Torah and do chesed. Which we know that already. The main pillars that the world is involved in is Aleph Bina, Gimal Dalet. So then the Gemara says, Hevav, Shemo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hevav is the name of God. I don't understand. Hevav is not the name of God. How could the Gemara say that Hevav is the name of God? It's two letters of the name of God, yes. But it's not the name of God. It says, Hevav, Shemo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But based on what I just told you, we understand the Gemara. Because Aleph, Bet, Gimal, Dalet is already 10. That's Yud. So the Gemara is saying, if you study Torah, Aleph, Bet, and you do Chesed, that's Gimal, Dalet. Now you made a Yud. Now you can go to the Hevav and spell Hashem's name. Which is the way you bring this Shekhinah down to you, is by studying Torah and doing Chesed. When you study Torah and do Chesed, you do Aleph, Bet, Gimal, Dalet. That's already a Yud. And then what? Hevav. Then you already have Yud, Kevav, that's Hashem's name. So you see, this concept is consistent. Says the great rabbi called Birkat Shemuel, and this is where it gets a little tricky. He says, in Shamayim, where the Torah was written, the Torah was not written in the order that we have it in the Sefer Torah. Our Torah starts with a bet, which is in the order of Aleph Bet. It's an early letter. In Shamayim, the letters of the Torah were configured differently. Same letters, but configured differently. And the Torah began in Shamayim with either the letter Taf or a Shin. And therefore, the Torah, the way it's written in heaven, is very strict. It arouses great judgments. He goes on, he doesn't say this, this is what I'm saying now. It says when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the Torah, the angels protested. The angels said, how are you going to give this Torah to a human being? What was their protest? What do you care if we get the Torah? The angels were saying, there's no way that people are going to be able to stand such a Torah that's written like this, because there's a lot of judgments. We're made out of fire. Angels are made out of fire. We can handle the system of the Torah, but human beings, they will not be able to tolerate it. The angels tell Moshe Rabbeinu, Ma li lud isha b'meinu? What is this earthling? What is this human being doing over here? So God says, to get the Torah. The angels said, to get the Torah. This is Hamda Genuza. This is a treasure that's very, very, very strict. How is it going to be tolerated by humans? So what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? Moshe Rabbeinu turns to God and says, now what do I do? They don't want to give me the Torah. So God says, hold on to my chair of Kisei HaKavod. V'achzir lahem teshuvah. Give them an answer. I always had a problem with this Gemara. How was God so sure that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have an answer? And what if Moshe doesn't have an answer? Then we don't get the Torah? Unless God was telling Moshe the answer. God tells Moshe, hold on to my chair, Kisei HaKavod, V'azir lahim, and answer them. You know what you should answer them? Teshuvah. What does the word Teshuvah mean? Teshuvah can mean an answer, but Teshuvah can also mean what?
Return.
Ah, to return. Ah, very good. V'azir lahim, go tell the angels that this is only one way that the Torah is written. Teshuvah. That there's a way to return and reverse. And therefore, if the Torah will be reversed in the Aleph Bet system, like we have it, then clearly the Jewish people will be able to tolerate it. Hazer lahim. Tell the angels, Teshuvah. Reverse. And Baruch Hashem, that was the right answer. And all of a sudden, all the letters started to switch. And we have a new configuration over here, which is incredible. Now I want to point out something. There is a midrash. The midrash says when Bil'am stood on the mountain and he wanted to curse the Jewish people. And instead of a curse coming out of his mouth, a blessing came out of his mouth. You know that story. And the pasuk says, Vayasim Hashem Davar Befi Bil'am. And God put the words in Bil'am's mouth. The Midrash says on the words, Vayasim Hashem, Pirush Malach. Not that Hashem put the words in his mouth, an angel put the words in his mouth. And the rabbis ask, the Birkat Shemuel asked this question. How does the rabbis know it was an angel? It says, Vayasim Hashem. And the rabbis come along and say, no, over there Hashem means a Malach. That God changed the words in Bil'am's mouth. How did the rabbis know that it was an angel? Listen to what he answers. Bil'am knew that God gets angry for 1 second every day. He knew, and he knew the time. So he had a stopwatch, and he's waiting for that second that God gets angry. And once he gets angry, at that exact moment, he's going to curse. Tosfot asks a question. What can he say in 1 second? What can you say in 1 second? If somebody wants to curse, usually a curse is especially want to curse a whole nation. And he wants to kill the whole nation. What can he say in 1 second? So Tosfot says he was going to say one word. Kalem. Chaf lamed mem. Kalem. What does the word kalem mean? Decimate them. Destroy them. So that was the word, kalim. What ended up coming out of his mouth? Instead of the word kalim, he said the word melech. That the Jewish people have a melech. which is the exact opposite of kalem, reversed. Mem, lamed, chaf. Now, who has that version of going backwards? The angels. And that's why the Midrash said, Vayashem Hashem davar befi bil'am malach. It had to be the malach, because you see from the fact that kalem was turned into melech, that's the Torah of the malachim, that have it in the tashrak, in the reverse order. This answers to me another question as well. When God gave the Torah, it says, it was chiseled into the tablets. Now, you might have seen things that were chiseled into stone. Maybe you went to the United Nations. So you see on the building they have a chisel, a pasuk in stone. But the chiseling that you see in the buildings is maybe 5 or 6 inches deep. The luchot were different. The luchot, it was chiseled through. It says, mizeh u'mizeh, both sides. Why would you chisel like that? That's not a normal way of chiseling into a stone. You just want to read the words, so you chisel a few inches in so it has some depth. But why would the Torah say, mizeh u'mizeh? Aha, I was like, well, now you know the answer. After this introduction, you know the answer. Because when you chisel something through and throughout, you read it forwards, on one side, and on the reverse side it's read the other way. It's hinting to us that our Torah is mizeh u'mizeh. The Torah is a Torah that has different systems or different ways of reading it. So Moshe Rabbeinu, we'll see how he did it, but Moshe Rabbeinu received the Chesed version of the Torah. Now, according to this interpretation, we once explained, the Gemara says in Berachot, those that say Ashrei Yoshbe Betecha 3 times a day, they guarantee themselves Olam Haba. The Gemara says that. We say it 3 times a day. If you pray, we say Ashrei twice in Shacharit, and we say it once in Mincha. The Gemara says, Kol HaOmer Tehillah LeDavid Shalosh Pa'amim Bayom Muftach Lo Shuv Ben Olam Haba. And I'm wondering, what an easy way to get Olam Haba. I thought the Gemara says, and it does say, that Olam Haba is acquired through Yisurim. You have to sweat to get to Olam Haba. It only comes through hardship. Well, anything good comes through hardship. And then the Gemara says, no, read Ashrei 3 times a day, Muftah. I'll tell you what it means, Muftah. It means that if you read the Ashrei 3 times a day, you'll merit Olam Haba without the Yisurim, without the difficulties. Somehow by reading Ashrei, of course that's not the only thing you could do. You have to do other things. You need to do all the mitzvot. But the Ashrei is able to minimize and sweeten the Yisurim. Instead of having to suffer for your Olam Haba, reading Ashrei 3 times a day takes away the suffering. You still have to work, but it takes away the Yisurim element. How? Because if you look at Ashrei, it has all the letters of the alphabet in order. Aram Mchayel Vaya Melech, Bechol Yom Abarecheka, Gadol Hashem Umulal Meo, Dor Ledori Shema Masecha, Hadar Kevodotecha, Ve'ezuz Norotecha, Zecher Avtukha Yabiyu, Hanun V'rachum, Tov Adonai Lakol V'rachamah V'kol Ma'asav, Zecher, etc. Yoduch Hashem Kol Ma'asecha, etc. Alef Bet Gimal Arrrr. So whenever you read the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet in order, Yashar, that already creates Hasadim, and therefore, of course you're going to have to do other things to get your Olam Haba, but at least this repetitive of the Aleph Bet in order has the ability to remove the judgments from a person, because it's following the system of Yashar. If this is true, we can now go back and understand why Moshe Rabbeinu wanted the Torah to be given specifically on Shabbat. I'll tell you why. The Zohar Kadosh writes that the 6 days of the week, the world is under judgment. And we see the world is under judgment. 6 days we have to work, we have to sweat, we have to put great effort. Ba Shabbat, ba Menucha. Shabbat comes, we rest. Like we say in the prayers, Ve'al tehi sara v'yagon b'yom menuchatenu. It's a day that's free of stress and yagon and woes. Rabbeinu Ari said in his famous song, Sevachin af aktin, beterin usvitin. Sevachin is woes, aktin is troubles, beterin usvitin. It's batel on Shabbat. Shabbat is a great day of mercy, is a great day of rahamin. When the Shabbat comes into the world, the judgment ceases to exist. Like we say in the Kiddush. What do we say in Kiddush? Vaychal Elohim Bayom HaShavi'i. What is the depth of that pasuk? Simply it means God finished the creation on the seventh day. It was finished. But I told you that Elohim means judgment. Vaychal Elohim Bayom HaShavi'i. The Elohim is finished. There are no more judgments. Vaychal Elohim Bayom HaShavi'i. The Elohim is finished. Once Yom HaShavi'i comes, it's all mercy. That's why, how do we start the Kiddush on Friday night? Yom HaShishi Vaychunu HaShamayim Yud Ke Vav Ke. Yom HaShishi Vaychunu HaShamayim. Because now we're saying this is the day of Yud Ke Vav Ke. Shabbat LaHashem. The Shabbat is Yud Ke Vav Ke. It's a merciful day. No bad comes down on Shabbat. Now I understand. Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Torah in heaven was a judgment Torah. And therefore he said, if I give this Torah on Friday, it's going to remain a judgment Torah. So therefore he did something on his own, but he had to do it for our sake, and God agreed with him. He pushed off Matan Torah. He pushed it off not to delay it. If he wouldn't have pushed it off, we wouldn't have been able to get it in the first place. Because if we received the Friday Torah, it would be the Torah of the angels. Too much judgment. We would not be able to handle it. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu waits till Shabbat. Shabbat, Shabbat LaHashem, Yudke Vavke. Ba Shabbat, Ba Menucha. And therefore when the Shabbat came, the letters switched. That's why, ladies, if you take the word Shabbat, Shabbat is only three letters. Shin, Bet, Taf. Could you spell another word from these three letters? Very good. Tashuv. 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 Tashuv means to reverse, to turn around. That's why we call it Shabbat. Shabbat is Otiyot Tashev. Because on the fact that the Torah was given on Shabbat, it was a day of mercy, all of a sudden the first letter of the Torah, Bet. Oh, now all of a sudden, tremendous Midat Rahamim. Now I go back. And I start to read, and I say, now I understand these pasukim. What does the pasuk say? Moshe ala el ha'elohim. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the Torah, what was it? Elohim. He saw the Torah of judgment. However, the pasuk says, Vayikra elav Adonai minahar. By the time it came down to the mountain, the next day, it became Yudke Vavke. And that's why God tells Moshe, Kotomar. Look at that, she's gorgeous language. Kotomar, Belashon hazeh, Ukseder hazeh. Ukseder hazeh. That she was very careful in his words. Give it to them in this language and in this order. That's implying that there was another order that was not for human consumption. And therefore he says, give it to them like this. Now if we understand this, I'd like to say another chiddush. With this I understand a few more things. In the beginning of our Torah, the first word in the Torah is what? Bereshit. No? Bereshit? Bereshit. Bereshit. The Gemara says, what is this word Bereshit? I know in the beginning. But what does the Gemara say? Bereshit. Bishvil HaTorah Shenikret Reshit. God created the world for the Torah. The whole world was created for the Torah. All this big world you see, everything, seven continents and billions of people all over the place. You say, why did God create this? For one reason. So He can give us the Torah. But when God created the world, where was the Torah? It was in heaven. And it was still written in which form? Judgment form. That's why the Pasuk says, Bereshit bara Elohim. In the beginning, the Torah that was documented was the Torah of Elohim. Only later on did it turn into a Torah of mercy. Now I want to tell you something else. Bereshit, the Zohar Kadosh, it's actually Zohar Hadash, writes, if you take the letters of Bereshit, Bet, Resh, Aleph, Shin, Yud, and Tav, Bereshit, it spells two Hebrew words. Yare Shabbat. Bereshit, Yare Shabbat. You have to have great fear of the Shabbat. And I'm asking on the Zohar, what in the world does Shabbat have to do with Bereshit? The explanation is, God says the whole purpose of the creation of the world is for the Torah. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to make sure he gave it on Shabbat. If it wasn't for Shabbat, we could not get the Torah. Because then the Torah would have been given on the 6 days of judgment. And then we would not be able to tolerate it. So in the same word, Bereshit, that talks about God creating the world for the Torah, it's hinted, Yare Shabbat. Don't forget about the Shabbat, because it is this great day that brings us to the Torah itself. Moshe Rabbeinu could not deliver the Torah on any other day. The day of Teshuvah, the day of return, the day where the letters reverse. Now, I'm going to show you something. Now. You can consider this your lucky day. There's a great rabbi called Ya'abetz. Ya'abetz wrote a perush on the Sidur. He says that on Shabbat happens every 7 days. That's the Shabbat we know. And he says when Mashiach comes, the days of Mashiach are also called Shabbat. We say in the prayers, Harachamanu yanchinenu leyom shekulo Shabbat. When Mashiach comes, it's going to be just one big Shabbat. And he says a chiddush. He says, once Mashiach comes, then already we're going to be presented with the other version of the Torah. The backwards version. The version that has different configurations starting with Taf. So he says, but judgment! He says, no, once Mashiach comes, it's like Shabbat. There are no judgments. And therefore you'll be able to take this Torah and you have nothing to worry. So he asks, where is this hinted in the prayers? So he says, if you open up Musaf, that we pray on Shabbat, the first paragraph in Musaf, I'm going to read the words, you tell me what it says. Tikanta Shabbat, Ratzita Korbenoteha. Tikanta is a Taf, Shabbat is a Shin, Ratzita is a Resh, Korbenoteha is a Kof, Sivita is a Tzaddi, Pirusheha, Pe, Im is a Ayin, Sidure Nesacheha, Samich Nun, Me'annegeha Le'olam, Mem Lamed, Kavod Yin Halu, Chaf Yud, To'ameha, Tet, Hayim, Het, Zachu, Zayin, Vegam, Vav, Ha'ohaveha, He devareha dalet gedula baharu az. It's the whole Aleph Bet backwards. Tashrat. Tashrak. Why all of a sudden on Shabbat do we have a whole paragraph that's written backwards? Gaon Ya'abetz writes, because this is hinting to us that when Mashiach comes, this is going to be the version. And you have nothing to worry. Because since it's Shabbat, the judgments have no hold. During the week, however, in the prayers, I don't know if you ladies say this, the men say it. In the prayers during the week, we cannot read the letters backwards, we can only read forward. That's why if you look in the beginning of the prayers on the weekday, we say this every day, we said it this morning. El Baruch Gedol De'a. El Baruch Alef Bet Gedol De'a Gimal Dalet Hechin Ufa'al Zaureh Hamma He Bav Zayin Chet Tov Yasar Kavod Lishmo Tet Yud Kaf Lamed Me'orot Natan Sivivot Uzo Mem Nun Sammech Ayin Pinot Sivot Kedoshim Pe Tzadikov Romemeh Shaddai Tamid. Which is all the Aleph Bet, but this time it's going forward. That we say during the week. Because during the week, we can only connect ourselves to the Torah of Aleph Bet, of a forward Torah, of Kav HaYasham. But during Shabbat, then already we're able to connect to Or Chozer, we're able to connect to the reverse letters. But that we have to wait until Mashiach comes. What do I benefit from this? I'll tell you what I benefit. First of all, it's Hiddushim. A big Hiddushim for me. This is a revelation that whatever we've studied till now is only the Torah that's given to us in this system. So we're going to have to learn a lot after Mashiach comes, where they're going to present to us a new version. A new version of the same book. And now we're going to have to start making Hiddushim and revealing Hiddushim on this new Torah that only until this point belonged by the Malachim. But I learned something else. And this is the lesson that I learned for Shavuot. When God was giving the Torah to the Jewish people, so right before He gives the Torah to the people, God says to the people, V'hitim li segula. V'hitim li segula. What does it mean? Exactly, that's the way I would understand it also. And now if you hearken well to me and observe my covenant, you shall be to me the most beloved treasure. God says if you keep the Torah, and you follow the Torah, V'hitim li segula. You'll be considered a great treasure. Your fortune. We know that the word segula today is used. People look for segulot. Today people are always looking for certain things that will change their luck. And I've told you many times, we have to be very cautious of segulot that are not documented. Sure, there's certain segulot that are legitimate from the great tzaddikim that they talked about. But there's a lot of people that take advantage for money or for other benefit, and they make segulot. Like I've told you many times, the red string that you might see people donning on their wrist, people say it's a great segula. And I always said it is a great segula for the one that sold it to you. He made a lot of money from selling red strings. But the people that are wearing the red string, I don't know how much they benefited. And therefore we have to be cautious. Some wear, you know, accessories and all sorts of, jewels and things. However, there are certain sigulot that are based on tradition. Our tradition was, when we would move into a new home, our great-grandmothers would come and take certain spices from the old country. And they would put them in a bag. And they would hide them in the corners of the house. They would take oil. Haptil Berakeh is another type of spice they would take. Berakeh is Beracha. And they would take other sorts of herbs. This is an old tradition. This is not something I made up or you made up. This has been going on for hundreds of years. These are customs. But to start everybody now making new segulot, one has to be careful. But I'll tell you something. There's one segula that's the best segula than all the segulot. And here it is. The Torah Kedoshah. God says, if you hearken to my words, Ve'ata in shamoa tishmu'u bekoli ushmartem et beriti v'itemni segula. This is the biggest segula that can be. Because the way I gave you the Torah, I changed all the letters around for you. In order to make this Torah a sinor, a pipe, that can only flow mercy through it. I changed all of the letters. I made sure that Moshe Rabbeinu would give it specifically on Shabbat, so I put all the good fortune in the book. But unfortunately, people abandon God's segula, and they prefer man-made segulot, and synthetic segulot, and segulot that are forgeries and fakes. And therefore on Shavuot, we commit ourselves to the best segula. There's no best segula than connecting to the study of the Torah. You do more for yourselves by coming to a class and hearing the Vrei Torah more than any good luck charm. You could hang all the rabbit's feet from your cars and all the other, you could put all the fish eyeballs and all the different herbs in your pocketbooks. But the greatest segula that a person could have is when he studies Torah and he hears the words of Torah. The fact that our children go to the yeshivot, there's no bigger beracha that when they come home, the Torah is permeating on their clothes, it's in their neshamot, it's in their brains. This brings beracha to the home. Whenever Tamidei Hachamim come to visit us in our house, the Gemara says, take if the Tamid Hacham beracha. You must know, the day that a rabbi comes to visit you, you know you have good luck on that day. Why? Because the rabbi is a good luck charm. Why is the rabbi a good luck charm? Because he's called rabbi? No. Because he studies Torah. Only because he studies Torah, so he brings good luck wherever he goes. When people go to the rabbi for beracha, where's the beracha come from? He's getting the beracha from the book. He's getting the beracha from the Torah itself. And that's why, and I'll conclude, I have a deeper understanding now to a story that you might have heard. Somebody once came to the Hafetz Chaim, and he asked for a beracha. The Hafetz Chaim said, are you Shomer Shabbat? The guy said, no. He said, how can I give you a beracha? He said, all the berachot come from Shabbat. Ki hi mekor beracha. The source of blessings is Shabbat. And you're not Shomer Shabbat. How can I give you a blessing if you're not Shomer Shabbat? You know what the depth of the story is? Because our whole Torah is good luck because of Shabbat. Shabbat was the day that caused the Torah to be written in a way of hasadim. When one does not keep the Shabbat, then God forbid, he turns this book into a judgment book. And the same book that brings blessing to the person, that same book now, Chas v'Shalom, can turn into a great source of deen. That's why in the first word in the Torah, Bereshit, it says, Yare Shabbat. Be careful of the Shabbat. Because this is the day that keeps the Torah straight. Aleph Bet Gimel. And that's the Hiddush that the rabbis are telling us. The rabbi, Hafetz Chaim, said, how can I give you a blessing of the Torah if you don't keep the Shabbat? When you don't keep the Shabbat, the letters are all in an angel way. Maybe an angel can tolerate it, but we cannot. It is our blessing and prayer. On Shavuot we're judged on the Torah. Every holiday is a judgment. On Shavuot they judge how much Torah we're going to learn in the next year. I pray that Bezat Hashem, last year, ladies, you received a very good judgment. Baruch Hashem, you were able to attend many shiurim and you expanded your mind and your horizons and the understanding of Torah. It is our prayer as well that all of us, including the rabbi, we should be judged in a favorable way on this Shavuot, in order that we should have a very prosperous year in learning. And God should give us the ability to be in good health, that we should be able to attend the shiurim, we should be able to have clarity of mind, to concentrate, and then, of course, to understand. And then, Be'azat Hashem, v'yitem li sigula. All the sigulot that are laid in these holy words will bring to us health and prosperity and beracha. Amen. Can you listen?